The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, Hebrews 13 verse 8. This precious verse showcases the often neglected but very vital doctrine of the immutability of God. In simple terms, the doctrine of immutability means that God Almighty has never, can never, and will never change. He is, by his very nature, unchangeable. This means that he's as powerful as ever, he's as loving as ever, as merciful as ever, as full of grace as ever, as holy as ever, and as much in control as he's ever been. He is still God, and he will always be God. He is absolutely unchangeable. This is one of the essential doctrines of Christianity. Why is the immutability so important? Because change implies imperfection, and God is absolutely perfect, therefore he cannot change ever. This truth is borne out in a multitude of scripture passages. Listen as I read from just a few. From Psalm 90, verse 2, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." And from Malachi 3, verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And from James 1, verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And from Revelation 1, verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Oh, and let me say that if he is almighty, which he is, then he is mighty in all. Today, I'd like to share with you a few areas where Jesus is absolutely unchangeable. And if you can grasp these truths, they have the potential to be life-changing. First of all, consider that Jesus will never change in regard to his personality. Therefore, any attributes which he possessed in the beginning, he still possesses today, and he will always possess them into eternity future. That which he was, he is, and he ever will be. Therefore, his personality will never change. Consider that he is love, 1 John 4 verse 8. According to this verse, God is love. That is, in his very nature, God is a God of love. Everything he does is an expression and an extension of his love, and that will never change. If God is love, and he is, then there'll never be a time when you will not be loved by God, irrespective of your behavior and or your responsiveness to his love. God loved you before he saved you. He loves you now, and he'll love you forever. He is love, and you are the object of his love. I'm convinced that the reason why so many Christians are living and walking without joy is simply because they do not yet fully realize just how much they are loved. We may sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Yet for many of us, while we really do know that in our heads, we don't yet know it in our hearts. Let me reassure you today with every fiber of my being that Jesus truly does love you 1,000 times more than you could ever imagine. And if you don't believe me, then just picture him on the cross and say to yourself, "He hung there for me." The Old Testament is full of law, rules, and regulations which God gave through Moses and the prophets in order that mankind could, through their own obedience, merit the favor and blessing of God. But when God saw that man could not keep the law, that it was humanly impossible for man to be obedient in all, Out of love, Jesus became a man so that he could take on him all of our bad and put on us all of his good. We didn't deserve it then, and we still don't deserve it now. It is all about grace, undeserved favor, and all about love. But more about God's loving nature later. Then, Jesus is light, John 8, verse 12. By his very nature, Jesus is light. His very purpose in coming into the world was to bring the light of God to those drowning in a sea of darkness. He came to manifest the Father to a fallen man. He's still in that business today, and he ever will be. He is the light, and he will ever be the light. He offers hope to those in darkness. He can and will bring them out of that darkness into the light of God. In the church, we're often confused about those in darkness, and usually reckon that only those still in the world and outside of Christ are in darkness. Yet it is possible to be in Christ and still walk in darkness, even though Jesus is your light. Let me teach you that just because you have a revelation about your salvation, or a revelation about your healing, or a revelation about your freedom, or a revelation about your finances, these revelations are merely seeds, and they need to be planted, nourished, and matured before they'll bear fruit. Every week I am sowing seed. I am planting God's word into your life. But that doesn't mean that you immediately have the answer. You have light, but you may not have enough light to progress or move on. If you're climbing the stairs in a tower block during a power cut because the lift is out, and I give you a match at the bottom, that match will take you only a few steps upwards. You'll need more matches, or a candle, or a lamp to get you to the top. Jesus is the light, but unless and until you're using that light every moment of every day, you'll stumble through this life in the dark and hurt yourself a few times in the process. Believe me, I know. This is why we should never be contented with past blessings or past revelations. God wants his children to be in the now and in the know. Remember also that Jesus is Lord, Acts 2:36. As I've shared with you in the past, and contrary to church opinion, no one makes Jesus the Lord of their life. He is already Lord, whether you and I acknowledge it or not. This world certainly does not live like Jesus is Lord, but that changes nothing. Many churches and many Christians do not live like he is Lord, but that too changes nothing. Jesus is Lord. He will ever be Lord. He is Lord. One day his power and position as Lord of all will be revealed to everyone. He is Lord, and the best you and I can do is live like we know it, believe it, and walk in it. Then Jesus is life, John 14 verse 6. Jesus is not just another life, he is the life. It is in him, and in him alone, that dead sinners can live. To know Jesus is to know life. To be without him is to abide in death, 1 John 5 verse 12. He is life, and he will ever be life. All the life on this planet sprang from him. Read about it in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Every man has life today because the Creator breathed the breath of life into man, Genesis 2 verse 7. He is the creator of life, and he is also the sustainer of life. This will never change. For a man to truly live, he must know Jesus. Anything else is mere existence. But Jesus came to give us not only life eternal, but life abundant, John 10 verse 10. And abundant life is all about walking in a garment, a pure, spotless covering that is not our own. The garment of salvation is woven and worked through and through by his righteousness. Jesus is right. He was always right. He is always right. And he will be always right. There's no wrong associated or attached to his personality. And, surprise, surprise, he loves you so much that he made you righteous. This is all part and parcel of the cross work of Christ. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, that he, that is God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that we, that's you and me, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let me ask you a question. If you have been made righteous, what part of you is unrighteous? If your tongue was made righteous, by lying, does it suddenly become unrighteous? If your mind was made righteous, by thinking proud or envious thoughts, does it suddenly become unrighteous? If your hands were made righteous, by stealing, do they suddenly become unrighteous? If you were made righteous, then you are righteous. It is when we fully grasp the love that has made us righteous. At that point, we come into the place spoken of by John in 1 John 3 verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Many Christians are trying to walk without sin, when what they should be doing is walking in love. Let me say it long and let me say it loud. If you walk in love, you will not sin. Not only did he make you righteous, he also sealed you righteous. This takes us beyond his personality to his power. Matthew 28:18 says he's been given all power in heaven and in earth. But what does that mean? The word power here comes from the Greek word exousia. We get our word exude from this word. This word literally means power of choice, the power of authority and influence, and of right or privilege, the power of rule or government. Simply stated, Jesus is the all-powerful Lord. Also, notice that Jesus said that this power had been given unto him. The word is in the passive indicative. This simply means that at some time in the past, God the Father gave Jesus power and authority, and that this gift has ongoing power into the future. In other words, it is God's will that Jesus possesses all power in heaven and earth, and nothing can change this fact. Consider his redemptive power. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12 verse 2. That is, he paid the price, and he's the only one in whom salvation can be found, Acts 4 verse 12. He will never lose that saving power. Then there is his protective power. Jesus is still the good shepherd, John 10 verse 11, and he will care for the sheep until they all arrive safely home. In Psalm 23, the Lord promises to care for his sheep in every conceivable manner. If he will do it for others, he'll do it for you. He will see you safely to heaven. One of the weapons in the deceptive armory of the devil is to get us to think that we're not quite like the rest of God's sheep, God's children. The devil will tell us that while God may well answer the prayers of others, he couldn't answer our prayers. So we fall into despair and despondency and are deceived into thinking that we've fallen from the grace of God. Years ago in Sunday school, we used to sing a little chorus that went, I have a Savior who is mighty to keep all day on Sunday and 6 days a week. We could not keep ourselves in the love of God. We cannot keep ourselves from failing. We will not keep our salvation to the end. It is God that keeps us. And God keeps all of us. Preacher and people alike, God alone has power to keep. Let me share with you a common failing amongst the people of God. You may be failing in this way too, and if you continue, you'll live all your life in the bondage of failure and never enjoy the liberty and life abundant that God has for you. The devil wants to steal your life and give you death. Walking with Jesus is life. Walking under the deceptions of Satan is death. Death to your joy, death to your peace, death to your sense of worth, death to your victories, death to your ambitions, and so on. In short, fear brings death. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15 read, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Listen to the devil's lies, and you'll live only in bondage. Listen to Jesus, and you'll walk always in blessing. Always. Let me illustrate this teaching. Supposing you've been praying for something, and you're not seeing God respond. You're agonizing over an issue, crying about a problem, or struggling with a temptation, and seeing no answer and no way out. Immediately, the devil moves in on your fears, and he tells you that you must have done something wrong to displease God and to destroy his favor working in your life. So, you go back into the pages of your memory to try to locate the bad things, so that you can justify your unanswered prayers. This is lies, lies, and more lies from the pit of hell itself. And if you listen to these, you'll live all your lifetime in bondage. Remember, Jesus took all of your bad and gave you all of his good. There is no bad that can be reckoned up before God in your life. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed your transgressions from you. Psalm 103, verse 12. Yet if you don't or won't believe it, you'll continue to walk in death. When you live and walk in this kind of in, out, up, down, saved, lost fashion, you are not walking in grace, and therefore not walking in God's favor. You're essentially tying God's hands through unbelief, and you're belittling the finished and completed cross work of Jesus Christ. You'll end up doubting and fearing your salvation and ignoring your new identity in Jesus. So then, we've considered the unchanging nature of his personality and his power. In closing, let us consider the permanency of his promises. Jesus has promised to save us. He has promised to supply us. He has promised to satisfy us. He has promised to secure us. And he has promised to sustain us. But in this final word today, I want us to glory in the amazing promise that he has sealed us. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes in Ephesians 4 verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And again in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest or guarantee of the Spirit in our hearts." What is it to be sealed by God? Supposing in the throne room of heaven, God writes you a private and personal letter, seals it with his signet ring, and hands it to the Archangel Michael to deliver in person to you. Do you imagine for one minute that Michael or any of the seraphim angels in heaven would dare to open it. Do you imagine that the devil or any demon in hell would try to intercept it and open it? Do you imagine that any government, any dictator, or any security company on earth could break that seal and see what God wrote in the privacy of his hand for your eyes only? The very idea is preposterous. Once God has sealed something, that seal cannot ever be broken. Never. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 38 and 39. When I was made righteous, I was sealed righteous, not to be tampered with under any hellish or earthly circumstances. Praise God forevermore. Things are always changing for you and me. I find it very refreshing and comforting to know that the God that I serve and the Lord that I've received as my Savior will never change. His personality, his power, and his promises can never change and never fail. God bless you. Amen.